WrestleTalk.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Oh.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom. Or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull it, bust over. I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is the night of TNA Genesis, which just reminds me I should have been playing as a blue hedgehog all night.
Good one.
Is that our Super Nintendo references? I decided to go a little bit more easy to get.
Yeah, good job.
Good job. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of this little network. Joining me tonight, we have our resident TNA expert, Lindsay.
No, don't you be calling me that.
What?
I'm not a TNA expert. I'm not a TNA analyst. Don't go there.
I thought of all of us, you would know TNA best with your rack and all.
Well, my rack does twitch whenever James Storm is around, so go figure there.
And with that little tidbit in mind, hi, Mace.
Hello.
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 Mace decided to drop in on us, apparently.
Yes. Consider this a run-in? I don't know.
Are you sick again?
I had job interview thing.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, we'll explain more after, sure. But yes.
Okay.
Anyway, continue.
Continuing.
Don't let me stop the show.
Okay, since he doesn't want to be the showstopper, I guess that just leaves us with Mr. Tim Stein.
Hi. Does that mean I'm the showstopper?
No.
Stop the show. Okay, we're turning the show around.
Well, if grinding it to a halt comes, yeah.
Grinding to a halt. There you go. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to a TNA Genesis edition of WTR Sunday Night. And we're going to take a look at the TNA Genesis pay-per-view. All the money that I spent on this, was it worth it? We'll find out. How was that? Was that good?
Well, let me put it to you this way. You guys are going to convince me to buy the replay.
We got to convince you.
Oh.
Okay.
So it's a challenge, is it?
Is it a challenge, or is it one of those things where, you know, we convince them that it was good enough?
It's an ultimatum is what it is.
An ultimatum. There you go. Okay. Well, you know,
convince me this pay-per-view is worth it, or people will die.
Joseph Park versus D-Von.
It's going to take a little bit more than that, darling.
Dude, no. This was match of the night.
Now I'm going to need some real convincing on this one. Okay. That doesn't sound right.
Okay. Christopher Daniels versus James Storm.
Out of context, that sounds like a really low bar, Lindsay.
Did you watch it?
It's TNA.
So the answer is no, he didn't.
I am recovering from a medieval fair and a sunburn I suffered there.
Do you have a cold?
Oh my god, wait, you went outside?
Yeah.
It's the sunburn.
Holy well, you know, he could stand at a window and get a sunburn. That's how often he goes outside.
Lindsay. There's this, like, really bright thing they put up in the sky without telling me.
No, honey, it's always been there. You just hide from it.
You lie.
You need to get out of that you need to get out of that basement more often.
I'm in Florida. We don't have basements here.
Oh, yeah, that's a bad idea in Florida, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's not like
you stick a shovel in the ground, you hit ocean.
Cool.
So it's in an indoor swimming pool.
You need to take the shade off the window once in a while. Open that thing up. Let the breeze come in.
But you don't know. How will these shows?
You don't know the size of the bugs here.
I've heard stories.
I'm surprised they don't get through the glass as it is.
Well, there's a little thing that was invented. It's called screens. They work pretty well. Unless you're telling me these bugs can, like, eat through them.
You haven't seen the bugs we have here.
I haven't seen them, but I've heard about them. Can they eat through screens? Can they eat through mesh?
The palmetto bugs can. I'm pretty sure if the mosquitoes tried, they probably could.
Floridian insects are regular features on Sci-Fi Channel original movies.
Really?
No.
You mean those aren't special effects?
Yeah, those are stunt giant bugs.
I just thought they were like special effects and really bad CGI.
Nah. It's Sci-Fi Channel. You think they can afford that?
They can't afford bad CGI?
No, they can't. They have to go worse than bad CGI.
Okay. Well, there you go. Enough of the stalling. Why don't we take a look at the first match of the night for TNA Genesis? We had Joey Ryan and Matt Morgan taking on Chavo Guerrero with Hernandez for the tag titles. How many people were expecting? What were we calling them last week? Tex-Mex. Weren't we?
I think so. Possibly. Maybe.
Now, I'm gonna,
We've had about 100 different nicknames for them. So it's
the Texas Mexicans.
Texas Mexicans. Okay, we'll go with that one for tonight.
Okay. Now, how many people expected the Texas Mexicans to retain?
No.
No.
Clearly, everyone else remembers the picks.
I distinctly remember going with them.
The question is, was that wishful thinking on your part? Or hopeful thinking on your part, rather?
God, no. I thought it was through the power of dead uncles.
Not according to the chance tonight for a change.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I am going to keep harping on that.
You're convinced that Chavo's get some great girl time because of Eddie, are you?
When he keeps reminding us, yes.
There was a Chavo chance for like the first time ever.
Yeah.
How much did that cost him?
Good question. We'll have to investigate. We'll get Alan Wojcik on it.
I'm just wondering if maybe they shipped in Vicky's side of the family to start those chants. Slight inside shot that only half the people listening probably have figured out at this point in time. If that. Well, sorry to burst your bubble, kids, but Chavo and Hernandez win and retain the titles.
Yeah,
So what blackmailable photographs do they have on Dixie Carter at this point?
Good question, but God, Hernandez. Ooh,
well, it involves these, like, hidden photos and images with AJ Styles.
Oh, no. We're not going to go there again, are we? No.
Yeah, I was going to ask if AJ was involved in these incriminating pictures.
Which AJ?
AJ Styles, genius.
Both, just to make it.
It could be either at this point.
Really good.
Is AJ with AJ on top of AJ?
Just screw everybody up, Lindsay, why don't you?
Somebody has to.
There you go.
The ending of this match, though, was brutal with Hernandez and the powerbomb on Joey Ryan. God, he almost killed him with it.
Yeah, I have to admit, I didn't see the end of this match, so why don't you describe it for us, Rock?
Like, he almost botched the entire powerbomb and basically dropped him on his neck. It didn't look good. But apparently Joey Ryan's okay, so the positive comes out of it.
So there you go. Now, as a result of this...
Joey Ryan being okay is a positive?
For well, some people.
Well, you know, you don't want to see people. Anybody, like, get paralyzed or anything like that.
Is it wrong that when he was down on his back laying there completely helpless, I wanted to go grab my wax and just, like, take care of his chest right there and his face?
No.
No. It is not a surprise you wanted to run in and wax him off.
Thank you. I'm sorry. He's just nasty looking. I want to fix it.
Good one, Omega.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be one of those nights.
Yeah, it is.
So as far as opening the pay-per-view with this match, good idea, bad idea, what do you figure?
For what they put on the card, I guess it was a good idea.
Yeah, well, would you have put it anywhere else on the card?
If they had a better
keeping in mind that one of your choices cannot be you wouldn't put it on the card at all.
Damn.
They could have opened with Joe and it probably would have been a little bit better.
Yeah, maybe that's the only one that made sense, cuz there's nothing else on this card that screamed opener. So, I guess that's the decent choice to start off the show. Because the crowd was hot for Chavo, so, you know, mm-hmm. I guess that worked out if you're there live.
Well, you know, of all the matches on the pay-per-view tonight, there is one that I would have possibly chosen to start the pay-per-view with other than this one.
What's that?
Chris Daniels versus James Storm.
No. Too high. Yep. It's too high profile. Can't open
I'm just
that.
Saying.
If the stipulation wasn't at it, then I would agree.
Yeah. Too high profile. I get it. I understand that. However, the level of the match itself would have been a good opener.
I liked it where it was.
Anyway, yeah, Trevor and Hernandez Steel Retain, which brings us to Mr. Anderson.
Anderson.
Who's probably really, really not happy today.
Why's that?
Green Bay Packers lost last night.
It's your fault, Tim, by the way.
It's not my fault, although they were tied until I turned got home and turned on the game. And then they just fell to shit. So I'm wondering if I did jinx them.
Lindsay, I told you, it was his fault.
You cost me the ability to see Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl. I hate you.
Wah. Oh, well. Anyway, so yeah, the Green Bay Packers lost last night, and I'm like, well, fuck, that sucks. So I'm thinking, okay, I'll cheer on the Seahawks. And then I'm driving to work this morning, and I heard the score, and I'm like, oh, well, shit.
I tell you what. I think
I'm going to cheer for the 49ers now.
Yes, cheer for the 49ers and cheer for the Patriots.
So.
That Seahawks-Falcons game, ooh, that was intense. Especially
that's like winning by the skin of your teeth.
Yeah.
Now, here's something that pisses me off, because I had to work today. The thing was on at 10 o'clock in the morning, my time. And, of course, I'm in the shower and getting all ready to go, and I've got it on the radio, and the radio is set to you know, the Calgary Sports Station. So I wake up with the free game show, and I hop in the shower, and by the time I get out of the shower, naturally, the alarm clock, you know, auto shut off. It turned itself off. I didn't have time to turn it back on to listen to it. I couldn't have heard it anyway while I was getting ready for it. I could get in the car, and it seemed like, Atlanta. They were up like 50,000 points by the time I got into the car, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, the 50,000 is a little exaggerated. But yeah, they were up, and they took their foot off the pedal, and well, we had a dramatic finish.
And what was the final score?
Oh, 30-28, I think.
And did the Seahawks own the last half of the fourth quarter or something?
Pretty much. Matt Ryan made mistakes and almost cost them the game, but, you know, they came back. Seahawks went down, scored a touchdown. And then right back, Falcons march down the field with 8 seconds left, hit a field goal to win the game.
I see. Well, you know, I used to like the 49ers back in the 80s when I was a really little kid.
So cheer for them.
Yeah, it's not going to hurt too much to be pro, pro 49ers.
Lindsay, the Falcons are going to the Super Bowl now. Just saying, because Tim's cheering for the 49ers. Anyway,
No, because they're not my team. So that doesn't hold. As far as the Green Bay Packers go, you know, when you look at the NFL, you could say that the Green Bay Packers are quote unquote my team.
Anyway,
so naturally they'll screw up when I start watching.
Anyway, speaking of Green Bay Packers, we're going back to Mr. Anderson and Samoa Joe.
So yeah, Anderson, Samoa Joe. Thanks to interference from Aces and Eights.
Sort of.
Kind of.
Sort of.
Sort of, kind of. Who was it that came out with the hammer and looked at Joe and
that would be Bill.
Yeah, that would be Bill, a.k.a.
That was
a.k.a. Mike Knox.
Bill, a.k.a. Mike Knox. Okay.
We call him Bill because, well, they had no names, so we made up names, and he was Bill.
Oh,
He's Bill from Kentucky.
Okay, I thought we called him Bill because it was an Alan Wojcikism.
No.
Okay.
Knox is Bill from Kentucky, and then Gallows is Steve from Wyoming. And for
Steve from Wyoming.
And then for reasons not yet explained, once Briscoe is revealed, he's Bunny Fufu.
Bunny Fufu?
Yes.
For more information, all these.
Is that like cousin to this Honey Boo Boo thing?
No.
No. It's. Those are the generic names I use. Steve, Bill, and Bunny Fufu.
Where's Bunny Fufu from? That's hard to say. That's kind of fun. Bunny Fufu from?
Bunny Fufu doesn't have a hometown. He's parts unknown.
Bunny Fufu is homeless.
No, it's parts unknown. It's the Denver airport.
The Denver airport is parts unknown. All right.
So that's where the warrior is?
That explains it. Yeah, he's delivering pizzas in Aurora.
God.
Have you seen where the Denver airport is? It's in the middle of nowhere. Literally, middle of nowhere. It's 30 miles south of Denver, and there is nothing out there.
I landed at the Denver airport when I was flying my Learjet.
Video games
his Learjet.
Yeah, Microsoft Flight 10.
Video games don't count, then.
How about this? I've actually landed there.
Ooh.
So, ha. Huh.
Well, like, okay, fine. I've landed there, too, but I wasn't flying the plane. So anyway, yeah, Samoa Joe didn't kill Anderson. I'm shocked.
Yeah, we were noting in our chat, not our chat, Tim, in another chat.
You were in another chat? You whore.
We were in another chat talking, and we kind of noticed that Mr. Anderson seemed a little off in this match.
Well, I told you he was dejected. The Packers lost.
No, we thought his belt was wrong. He looked a little off.
So you figure that he legit sustained a concussion, do you?
That's our thinking, yes.
Yeah, when would this allegedly have taken place?
Probably early on in the match.
Okay, so if news comes out tomorrow, kids, that Mr. Anderson suffers concussion at Genesis, you heard it here first. We're the newsbreakers.
Yes, you can credit Wild Talk Radio.
Don't credit anybody else.
Yes. When you put it on the dirt sheets, just credit us.
Yeah, there you go. That's all that matters.
Anyway, Mr. Anderson won.
Okay, yeah, I'm surprised. I figured Joe would win it.
Not really. Storyline-wise, it makes sense for Mr. Anderson to go over, because apparently every other Aces and Eights member can lose. So, he's almost an Aces and Eights member, so he should actually win one.
Okay. Well, you know, this pay-per-view from here starts turning into, surprising wins, really, seriously.
Yes, it does. So, let's continue.
Especially the match up next, Christian York versus Kenny King. Everybody was backing Kenny King, for crying out loud.
Well, he was the clear choice to win that match.
Yeah.
Wasn't backing him.
Yes, but you don't even have a show, so shh.
Shut.
You're gonna make Mace cry. That's just not nice.
Wait a minute, Mace. You can have a show. Man. You can talk about comic books on Fridays if you want.
Okay. We're getting rid of Mr. Paranormal, are we?
Well, that's going to be podcasted or on later, so I don't know. That's, you know, he has weird freaking guests on Friday nights. Johnny Cashmere and his wake-up call. I don't know why he calls it the wake-up call, because none of this stuff, like, happens when you're awake. It's all, like, so surreal.
Because he's trying to enlighten everybody to his train of thought. That's why he calls it the wake-up call.
Open your eyes, Tim. It's all around you. You just need to see it. Get the tinfoil hat on, quick! It's all around you! It's coming!
Okay, put the remote down and change the channel from the X-Files, Omega. We don't need the X-Files. We've got Johnny Cashmere on Fridays. Yeah, so Kristen York wins this one. I'm surprised. I'm shocked. I'm stunned. I'm not pissed off. The match was entertaining and enjoyable enough to watch.
Yeah, it was a surprising victory. Because you would figure the heel face dynamic, you would go with Kenny King, but no, they went with Kristen York and told a different story.
They told a different story? Freaky.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's just weird, that's all. But what can you do? That's what you do. Omega, tell me that you watched the next match at least.
What's the next match?
RVD versus York for the X Division title. No.
Dude, I spent 9 hours walking around a field all day. I came home, I conked out, I regained consciousness with like an hour to go.
I'm shocked. I'm just totally and thoroughly shocked.
Outside and walking around at the same time. That's just scary, Omega.
The world is coming to an end.
It's overrated, Mace. Don't do it.
Next he's going to tell us he actually breathed fresh air.
No. I am of the firm belief that Omega took a canister out of his room, from his room, that was filled with compressed air from his room. And that's what he breathed.
Now, since you spent all this time walking, did you at least get a chance to stop and smell the roses?
There were no roses.
Damn.
There was someone making glass ones on site, though. That was neat.
You didn't try to smell a glass rose, did you?
I did see a fully armored knight deliver one of the best super kicks I've ever seen. Really?
Must Maybe you just Shawn Michaels fan.
You beat me to it, Mace.
Still, you think of like... Jeez, you think of like when James Storm tries to deliver a super kick and it's hard for him to get the... even up to his opponent's chin sometimes. This guy did it in full armor.
That's impressive.
A super kick in full armor.
Again, impressive.
Yeah, that is actually impressive. I've seen the type of armor done in those type of situations, and yeah, that would be pretty hard to do. Did he at least connect?
Oh, full on to the chin. It was a perfect shot.
Oh.
Did he? So he did Shawn Michaels.
Did you record it?
My battery was dead.
Fail.
Always an excuse with this kid.
Omega fail.
Trust me, I was more upset than you. I'm going next weekend. I'm hoping he repeats the spot.
Okay.
If not, get a hold of him. Organize it beforehand. We will rig the jousting.
It's rigged. It's a sham.
Pay the opponent to take a dive.
So, anyway, yeah. RVD comes out, take on York, and starts off telling York he doesn't have to do this. You won, sure. We don't have to fight immediately. This is, I'm kind of surprised he didn't, like, just hold off and then hold the match later in the evening.
Well, they made the stipulation earlier tonight that saying it's going to go right after, the match. But because the Kenny King's attack, yeah, they told a different story where RVD just got to beat up on Christian York for the most part. And then you had the little spurts of comebacks by York. But RVD at the end was able to get the victory, though there were some really close near falls.
Yeah, well, it was an entertaining match. I expected after all of this, you know, that happened, I expected it to be a squash, but it didn't turn out that way.
Like I said, they told a good story.
They did. It was very entertaining. And RVD still won, so he still has the X Division title. And I don't think that's a huge surprise to absolutely anybody. Up next is Lindsay's match of the night, Joseph Parker taking on Devon. Before we talk about this one, you know, why don't we take our first time out of the evening?
Sure, Tim. Let's do that.
Yeah, why not? Everybody listen to WTR, Sunday Irish Talk Radio, Genesis Pay-Per-View Edition. Don't go anywhere. We'll have the rest of the pay-per-view broken down and reviewed on the other side of this quick little timeout.
Hey man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
In fresh them teeth since 1983.
Well, that ain't good.
The drummer from the Bumper's only got one arm.
You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say?
Yeah, I don't give a damn if you don't like me.
Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can, watch late night C-SPAN, and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on WildTalkRadio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry in the Cheapwood paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
Every Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network gets a little bit more impactful with The Rack, bringing you the most in-depth coverage of TNA's Impact Wrestling, which includes all of our favorite stars, such as Chavo Guerrero, Zima Ion, Tess Mocker, Robbie E.
Wait, who wrote this? No. I'm changing this.
We'll talk all about my favorite stars of Impact Wrestling, including Christopher Daniels, James Storm, Samoa Joe, Joseph Parks, Austin Aries, and more. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, live 11 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
No rack, named after some breath. That's awesome.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a big bang or something. That's no gangbang. Maybe the world needs fans. End of the world gangbang style.
Weird. Wow. Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? Oh, I thought the people were going to be showing at the party. Oh, you've done the battle over here. That's a horseshoe, Rob. That's a horseshoe. Not the pelvic thrust. Is that Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't want to be.
That,
800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future. Yeah. This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club stays still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I'm gonna wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix gone off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and...
Wild Talk Radio changes.
13.
My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Hey everybody, this is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara, the one with the baddest, sickest finisher, Widow Peak, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Let's talk radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, right in the middle of breaking down TNA's Genesis pay-per-view. Yeah. As the music in the background fades. Match we're about to talk about up next. Lindsay had a great time watching.
Yes.
Did you, Tim?
I can't really say I had a great time or a bad time. Watching it at the pay-per-view.
Because you didn't watch this match. So, Lindsay, what'd you think of the match?
I watched this match.
Sure you did.
I did.
Mm-hmm. So, Lindsay, what'd you think?
I like the match. You know, it's everybody, I guess, is going to down it because it's Joseph Park and it's D-Von. But you know what? The way that they worked it, the way that they sold it, was brilliant. It really was. I mean, it just, the psychology in it was fantastic. Because you're expecting, okay, Joseph Park, you know, he goes to wrestling school and then all of a sudden he's going to be a quote-unquote professional wrestler, but he sold it as a rookie. You know, they didn't do that, skip that step of, you know, all of a sudden, oh, holy crap, he can actually wrestle. It's that he sold it as he doesn't really know what he's doing still. And then the finish to the match was freaking awesome.
Yeah, it was. I liked how they did... Oh, what's it called? I like how they went to, you know, the basics in pro wrestling, where D-Von got on his knees and, you know, told him to take him down. I thought that was great. The wrestling takeovers, they were great. And this entire match, a totally great story, as Lindsay was saying.
Taking turns with some pretty good chain wrestling.
Yes.
Throughout the match, which was also pretty good.
Yes, it was good. Yeah. I enjoyed it. It was really entertaining, quality match. At that point, it's match of the night.
Yeah, it's quite enjoyable. Quite enjoyable. Of course, D-Von won because Joseph Parks kind of sort of had like this moment where he like snapped out of something, which was, I think, just the only kind of dumb part of the match.
Why was it dumb, Tim?
Oh, because it just... I understand the reason for it and everything else like that. I just found it dumb. It was just plain dumb.
I thought that was the brilliance of the match. Having him go into the abyss moment and then just snap out of it like nothing happened and it cost him the victory.
Everybody was expecting the abyss moment.
Okay. Yeah. The end of this match I did catch.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, it didn't feel like it came off that well. I feel like the whole snapping to abyss and then snapping out would have worked better if he wasn't in the middle of a move when he did it.
See, I thought that was good. I thought it was different.
Like, he snaps, he goes abyss, he hits the black hole slam, you know, and then when he starts screaming for the choke slam, if he snapped out of it then, and when he's got D-Von up by one hand and then snaps out of it, it just doesn't play so well. It just felt like I don't know what it felt like. It's just confusing. Like, I know what they were going for. I just don't think it came off as well as it should have.
This is what I was saying.
Yeah, but Omega at least gave a reason. You just said it was dumb.
Well, it was.
But Omega backed up his point, so one point.
Fine.
Omega. You don't get any points, Tim, so I'm sorry.
I didn't know we were playing for keeps. Yeah, speaking of playing for keeps, everybody make sure that you don't go anywhere. At the very end of this, we are going to announce the WTR Pick'em winner.
Yes, we're giving away a prize courtesy of Memorabilia Lane and Promotions. Go to memlanepromo.com and use the promo code ROCKSOCK, and you can buy an RVD, Mr. Anderson, or there's one more. I can't remember off the top of my head. I think it's Mr. Anderson, RVD, and Kurt Angle. Autograph for $8, so use the promo code ROCKSOCK at checkout.
Wow, you're a promo code.
So there you go.
Yeah, he's a promo code, but you're the one with the press release, right? You didn't say it, but it was implied. I heard it.
I'll tell you about that press release later.
Good Lord, is everything on this network becoming a competition? God damn.
What do you mean becoming? Where the hell have you been, woman?
There is no competition. Anyway, moving on.
No, I'm clearly the best here.
Okay.
Delusional scatterbrain.
7 million views scatterbrain.
Whatever, mister. I'm better than you. Seriously.
That's where Tim should move along the show instead of the awkward pause.
Well, no, the awkward pauses can be fun. Anyway, yeah, okay, so D-Von wins, which is like no big huge surprise or anything like that, and they had a nice little vignette at the beginning where, you know, Joseph Parks is at OVW getting trained by, who? Was that Danny Davis?
That has been Danny Davis. They've been showing those vignettes on TV, if you would actually watch the TV show.
Yes, no, I know that. My point is, holy Christ, Danny Davis now looks like his great-grandfather.
How weird is it to see OVW featured on TNA television?
Yeah, no kidding. That was the other thing I was thinking.
Because keep in mind, it's not just the fact that it's, you know, it's Ohio Valley Wrestling, which was WWE's training facility forever. It's also the one that JBL bailed out. And now it's on TNA.
Yep.
Well, that's pro wrestling for you.
There you go. Up next, the Knockouts Gauntlet match. The Gauntlet Battle, I guess you might want to call it, if you feel like it. Now, Gail Kim starts off against Miss Tessmacher.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, I think they telegraphed the ending of it with Gail Kim lasting as long as she did.
Possibly.
I mean, there was when you stop and you think about it, there's some really good psychology. And them working it so Gail Kim getting a chance to, you know, quote-unquote, catch her breath and regain some momentum in the ring with her tactics. And it was not an unenjoyable women's match?
It was enjoyable. I thought so. What do you think, Lindsay?
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was good. I was kind of hoping ODB would win, but, you know, it had a controversial ending. It got people into it. So, yeah, it was good.
That's all you want from well, the wrestling is that it was enjoyable, and this match was enjoyable. They kept it, you know, a fast enough pace. They got everyone in and out, hit their spots. It was good.
The only thing that concerned me was when Gail had ODB by the underwear.
The bloomers.
The bloomers. Yeah, it's like, that's not like regular tights where, you know, they'll just...
Yeah, that's not going to work. You know, if, like, she puts her legs down a little bit, she's losing the bloomers and we're all getting Moon Over Miami.
So, yeah, yeah. I liked how they used the term bloomers.
What else are they going to call them, right?
Underwear?
Granny panties?
No. Yeah, see, neither one of those works, so. Mainly because it's ODB. But, yeah, no, overall the match was fine. It's just, I just felt like, you know, you knew Velvet was going to win at the end, which she did.
Yeah, she did. Sort of. There was a little controversy with Gail Kim's leg underneath the rope, though.
There was a little controversy with Mickie James' hand on the ropes as well. Now, is this setting up some kind of controversial thing for Impact on Thursday Rock? You're the one who brought it up in chat, so.
Yeah, we're going to get some controversy, and guess what? That's good, because, you know, now they have a new pay-per-view system where they're going to have to draw out the storylines and have them mean something, and having an interesting, you know, feud over the Knockout Championship and the contendership. That's interesting television, because they put on some great matches on TV. Watch it.
Mm. There you go. Yeah, we'll talk about the pay-per-views that they did, like, what was it, 5 months in advance or 5 weeks in advance or something like that for the first one?
Huh? We'll talk
anyway,
about
we'll get to it later.
Yeah, we'll get to
later. We'll get to that later. So, yeah, you know, it was good enough, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it was good.
Yep. Up next, Christopher Daniels and his Apple Teeny versus James Storm.
But before we get to the match, the promo from Daniels?
Yes, go ahead.
Nicely done. Very nicely done.
I want to have that promos kittens. Just saying.
Christopher Daniels is simply one of the best people that you can put on a microphone. He's that entertaining. So now you can go talk about the match, Tim.
Now we can talk about the match itself. Well, it was an entertaining match, and that's pretty much all I have to say about it.
Tim,
Daniels won. What?
Tim, get off your phone.
I'm not on my phone.
Let's have a conversation.
I'm just trying to think about what to say about the match. I watched it. I don't know. It was worth watching, you know, so... Daniels wins. That's a surprise to everybody, I think.
Mm. No, I called Daniels to win.
Okay, everybody but Lindsay and her apple teeny fetish.
What's wrong with apple teenies? They're good.
I'm just saying.
It made sense for Daniels to win, because he would be the heel and going after the babyface. In the world champion, most likely, in England, which is where they set it up for, to be. So, yeah, it made sense for Daniels to win. I thought he was going to win for a different reason, but he won. Then the false finishes at the end were really nice. They have great chemistry, and they mentioned that this is the first time they've had a singles match on pay-per-view. I want to see more of it.
It was a good super kick to the Kazarian's chin.
Yes.
Near the end, which basically set up the finish. So, yeah, no, it was an entertaining match. I liked it, and it was all worth watching.
Where's that beeping coming from?
I don't know. Mace, is your leg bracelet going off?
No,
I'm receiving texts on my phone. I'm ignoring them. right now, so.
Like I said, get off your phone, Tim.
I'm not on the phone. I'm ignoring that, but that's where all the beeping's coming from. I'm getting, I'm having texts sent to me.
Well, so. Mute your phone.
I don't have that option. Let's not talk about this phone. Rock already knows why I don't need to, we don't need to talk about the damn phone.
Because that, it's a piece of crap?
Well, it's a two, that's a 2-hour discussion right there.
His first wrong decision was choosing Sony Ericsson as his, you know, cell phone.
Well, if that's his best ringtone, he's already made a fatal mistake.
Again, it's not a ringtone. It's a, you have a text tone.
And so you can't turn down the volume on your phone?
Or maybe move it away from the mic?
It's actually not near the mic, believe it or not. It's loud enough that you can hear it.
Or
is it a damn smoke alarm?
You would almost think so.
Or there's something called vibrate.
Well, no, it's vibrate.
No. Tim doesn't need to be playing with the vibrate option.
I have no reason to play with the vibrate option, Lindsay.
It hasn't worked in years.
I'm not you.
I don't have to play with the vibrate option on
my
phone.
Not even saying a word. You know, vibrate on phones was invented by women for women. You know that, right?
And thank God for that.
I'm just saying, and it's true.
No, if I need the vibrate option on a phone, I'll go ring my upstairs neighbor's doorbell and go get her phone because hers vibrates loud enough that I can tell exactly where it is in her house at all times through my ceiling.
Yeah, I'm not saying a word about that. Just not saying a word about that.
So anyway, James Storm loses, and Christopher Daniels will now get a one-on-one title shot in England.
Yes, and I'm telling you, I'm surprised that James Storm's lost.
Well, because you picked him, that's why.
Well, I picked him to win, yes, so I'm surprised he lost.
Yes.
But, up next we had Sting taking on Doc, D-O-C, also known as, what, Steve from Wyoming?
There you go.
Steve from Wyoming.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it was Wyoming or Montana, I forgot.
No, it was Wyoming, so you got it right.
There you go. Okay, Steve from Wyoming. You guys just love making up your names for and places of residence for all these aces and eights individuals, don't you?
We have fun on Thursday nights. What are we going to tell you? We have fun on a show. How about that?
I didn't like calling him the arm breaker, and that's what they kept referring to him as, is the arm breaker. So it's like, damn it, that's just stupid. He needs a name. So
like
he became Steve.
I like how they're just giving roles for all of them. Like, they don't just have a name in Aces and Eights. They have, like, job titles.
Yes.
So, you know, like, Steve is like the Aces and Eights accounting department.
No, he's actually the director of chaos.
The director of chaos.
Otherwise,
okay,
known
is
Doc.
This a pro wrestler or a Spider-Man villain?
Both. God. Now you know why he's named Doc.
Director of chaos.
Omega, that's not even a Spider-Man villain. That's an Aquaman villain.
It's not that lame.
So this was your typical Sting match?
Pretty much. I wouldn't really classify it as much of anything other than typical Sting match. And of course, at the end, after Sting wins, out comes Aces and Eights to surround the ring.
Continue on, Tim.
How do you even direct chaos? The whole point of chaos, it's undirectable. I'm sorry, I'm hung up on this now.
Spoken like a true comic book geek.
It's not comic book geek. It's English fucking language.
No, I'm not even thinking. I'm thinking Jeff Goldblum from Jurassic Park. Trying to explain the chaos theory.
God creates dinosaurs. God kills dinosaurs. God creates men. Man kills God. God creates dinosaurs. Dinosaurs eat men. Women inherit the earth.
You need to stutter a lot more to make that Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to do a Jeff Goldblum imitation. I have yet to meet anybody who can do that.
I've heard a few. They're not great.
Not great.
Seriously, how do you direct chaos?
Go tweet Jeremy Boris. He might have an answer for you.
How do you direct chaos? Okay, now tell you what. On the count of three, do whatever the hell you want. Okay? There, how's that for directing chaos? So
I was waiting for the three count.
So was I.
I was reaching for my belt and everything.
I can't believe that. Okay, we're directing chaos. You don't get a three count. Think about it.
Yes, no, we get a three count, but it goes 1, 6, 28, B.
Three.
I blew 32. Alrighty then, Sting wins, out comes the aces and eights to surround the ring. Who comes out to make the save? Bully Ray.
Yes.
With his big chin.
Yes, him and a scary big chain, and he chased him off, and, you know, we he had the back of Sting, which he's been telling Hulk Hogan he's had all along, so. And did you know there's a wedding Thursday?
Apparently, Brooke is going to marry, Bully Ray.
Yep, we have a wedding. We have a wedding on Impact this Thursday.
Yeah. Is there anything we can do, like start a petition or something to ban wedding angles and stories in wrestling? Not just TNA, but all wrestling.
Well, he's not going to strip down to his underwear, is he?
What's wrong with wedding angles?
We hope not, Omega. Answer the question, Tim.
Pray to God not.
There's only one two that ever actually came close to working. The rest were just really retarded and ridiculous, yep. And they're all retarded and ridiculous.
And which two were they, Tim?
Macho Man Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth. Ooh, yeah.
Don't do that again.
And of course the Helmsley McMahon era.
And so you clearly did not see ODB in our account.
Yeah, I saw bits and pieces of it, and I was just like, no. Haha, but no.
See?
Just saying.
You need to learn to have some more fun, Tim.
Fun is overrated, goddammit. Fun sucks.
You're Mr. Serious, so, you know.
I try to be. I try to be.
He's Landstorm.
Well, I'm from Calgary. Dramatic pause. Alberta, Canada. Which, by the way, is receiving even more snow as we speak, yet once again.
Yay.
Oy vey.
Are you going to take pictures of it and post them on the Facebook Tim for us?
Do you want me to?
Yes, go outside. Go outside right now and go take a picture of the snow.
No, I don't want to.
Lazy fucker.
Yeah. Well, I got somebody wanting me to actually drive down to her place after this webcast is over, which will be past midnight my time, to bring her something.
They'll let you out of the home that late?
Good
Lindsay,
morning.
Where are you right now?
I'm not telling you where I am.
You're at work, aren't you?
Nope.
Liar.
Nope.
Liar.
Nope.
Clearly, okay, he does not listen.
Are you at home?
Am I home? Yes, I am at home.
Liar.
I'm at home, dude. Schedule changed at the beginning of the semester.
Liar.
Clearly, Tim does not listen to the Rock Thursday night till 11 p.m. Eastern.
Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network?
Yeah, you would clearly know these stories, but you don't listen.
Hosted by Lindsay Ward?
Mm-hmm.
And contributed to by some ass named Rock.
Damn right.
Damn right you're an ass.
I'm not denying it.
I noticed this much. All right, so moving on to the main event, we have Jeff Hardy taking on Bobby Roode, taking on Austin Aries, and it's an elimination match.
Yes it was. And a really good match.
Well, why don't you tell us about it, then?
No, you're the host, so tell us.
Well, okay, as the host, what did you think about the match, Rock?
I thought it was good. I thought it was good. Very enjoyable. Especially when Austin Aries and Bobby Roode were working together to take out Jeff Hardy.
Yes, of course. And, of course, they partially succeeded because Jeff Hardy left the ring and was lying around on the floor for a little while Aries and Roode decided they were going to fight each other, and then all bets were off.
Yeah, Bobby Roode pulled the switcheroo on Austin Aries. And, well, yeah. We had some interesting moments.
And surprise and shock, when Jeff Hardy got back into the ring, and you're talking about switcheroos, hey, look at this. Austin Aries actually kind of sort of helped with that pin that Jeff Hardy got, sort of.
Well, it was Jeff Hardy helping Austin Aries. So.
Well, yeah, you know, like six of one, half a dozen of the other.
And Austin Aries claimed bullshit that Hardy got the credit for the pin. He wanted the credit.
And he actually did that, too. He says, I call bullshit, and you could hear him.
That's why I said...
You could hear him in the ring. I call bullshit! Russ says, shut up. And like, yeah, whatever, let's move on. And, of course, Jeff Hardy retains the title and wins. And stuff like that.
Yes, Jeff Hardy is still your TNA World Heavyweight Champion, Lindsay.
Yoo-hoo.
This is where she says yoo-hoo with a question mark ending.
I actually have one complaint about Jeff Hardy as a whole.
Okay.
Jeff Hardy as a whole?
The one thing that kind of irritated me and set me off on this pay-per-view...
Him's a whole... What?
...was the fact that at the beginning they basically said Jeff Hardy is bigger than the wrestling business... Which, I'm sorry, nobody's bigger than the business, and that just set me off and irritated me, because they're trying to set Jeff Hardy on a level that, frankly, he's just not at. And he probably never will be.
Jeff Hardy's no CM Punk, after all.
Not even CM Punk. They're trying to set him on the same level as some of the greatest names in this business, and he's just not. He's really not. And it's like, I get why they did it. I get that they're trying to make him their biggest star. But he's not on the same level as Hogan and Sting and the other names out there. And in my opinion, he never will be.
Okay, well, that just sort of answered my question.
And so, just that, I think that set me off in the beginning, the way that they opened the pay-per-view like that. And so I kind of had a sour taste for this match from the get-go.
Except for you watching Austin Aries and Bobby Roode.
Oh, God, Bobby Roode and Austin Aries is awesome.
Yeah, I'm such a fan of Jeff Hardy that if I don't have to watch any match that he wrestles in, I'm happy. I'm just, you know, that's me.
If you missed Thursday's Impact, and clearly Tim did, you need to go back and watch it and just see the chemistry between Austin Aries and Bobby Roode. Because they're amazing backstage cutting promos. Amazing. Highly recommend watching it.
Yeah, you see, I never said anything negative about those two. I said something negative about Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, but I was just putting over the segment from Thursday.
So there you go.
That's all.
Well, that's pretty much it for the pay-per-view.
Yeah, it is. How about that?
I got a funny feeling we didn't convince Mace to buy the replay.
Yeah, there's not really much there that seems to be worth watching.
No. If you can track down a copy of it from a friend or for Devon and Joseph Park, go for it. And same with Daniels and Storm. Beyond that, it's your typical TNA pay-per-view. Solid matches all the way around, but nothing earth-shattering this pay-per-view.
Nothing earth-shattering, nothing totally mind-blowing or anything like that. It's a case if you want to spend the money. If you don't.
Right, because their major focus right now is heading over to England and then setting up Lockdown.
Yeah, so there you go. And, of course, the next TNA pay-per-view is when? My God.
It's in March, honestly, actually. It's in March.
March, there's no February pay-per-view. TNA, yeah, let's talk about the new TNA pay-per-view format now, why don't we? TNA has got like four major Sunday live pay-per-view events this year.
Can I indulge myself here?
Yes.
Go ahead. Well, for those who don't know, against all odds, TNA has sacrificed 8 pay-per-views, a decision of hard justice marking a turning point in TNA history, promising no surrender, they make their final resolution to march down a new victory road toward Destination X.
Well done.
Okay, Kevin Price.
Where did you steal that from?
Yeah, I was about to say, where'd you read that from?
Off my little notepad.
Very creative, sir. Very creative.
You're not claiming originality, are you?
Yeah. I'm going to claim damn originality on this one. Well,
you better claim it more than just say it right now live, because you know that somebody's going to listen to replays of the show as soon as it's posted and steal it from you.
Oh, they'll know where it came from.
I'm just saying.
Anyway, so yeah.
Let's take a look at this new pay-per-view format idea. Rock, what do you think about this?
As we discussed Thursday night on The Rack.
Will you give it a rest? Okay, we get it. The Rack's on Thursday night with Lindsay as your host right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Oh,
Rock,
my God.
Get the hell off her rack.
Make me burp.
I'm in favor of this move, because it leads to four big pay-per-views, which will have better storylines. And, yeah, that's about it. Though we will get into, I'll read off to you, Tim, since I don't know if you know them, what the new one-night-only pay-per-views are.
Now, these one-night-only pay-per-views, these ones are the pre-taped ones. They've already taped one of them. And apparently, what's that?
They taped two of them already.
Oh, they've taped two already. Mm-hmm. Apparently, these things don't have much of anything to do with any storylines or anything like that. They can't really have anything to do with any current storylines, because they're going to like let you download or buy the pay-per-view, watch it on demand or watch it online on demand at your leisure for a full month before they post the next one.
Yes, you're going to be able to buy the pay-per-view. It's going to air every the first Friday in every month. They'll be available on your cable systems for $14.95, 3 hours of worth of wrestling.
Now, already I've seen feedback on places like Facebook and Twitter and various social media outlets. There are people scratching their heads about this, and they're, you know, like, sure, we've always said that both companies need to cut back their pay-per-views. There's way too many pay-per-views. Nothing can start up. You can't sustain any kind of storyline or any bullshit. And TNA, you know, whether they're listening to us or whether they're going to claim this is their own idea, I don't really care. They're, in my opinion, taking steps in the right direction. Yeah, fewer pay-per-views. Four might be a little drastic, but this ties in with this on-demand, pay-to-watch good wrestling, which is basically what it is. But again, people are scratching their heads and wondering what the hell.
I want to ask Omega this question, because he's not the big TNA fan on the show, even though he might be a closet one. I just want to admit it. Does having four pay-per-views give you more incentive to actually want to watch the pay-per-views? Seeing this, it might actually mean something more?
Well, that all depends on how the first pay-per-view turns out, given this new format. Because it's gonna take a lot out of the creative team to switch gears, going from a monthly schedule to, geez, what's going to amount to eventually to like 3 months between pay-per-views.
Right.
It just depends on how smoothly they make the transition. Personally, I've wanted them to do this for a long time. I always felt they were trying to copy WWE too much and make too much of themselves by going with 12 pay-per-views right out of the get-go. This way, each one's a little bit more important. You space out your buying decisions a little bit more. It's easier for more people to pick up each one. It should theoretically lead to stronger stories and overall a more refined product the TNA should be able to deliver. But that's only if they get it right, because traditionally TNA has had a rough go at whenever they change their time schedules.
But to counterpoint that, if you look back at some of the storylines they've been doing over the last few months, it seems like they've been building more long-term stories, especially, it seems like every other pay-per-view sort of meant something, if you think about it. And now they have one to focus on, so it might actually be good.
Yeah, like I said, it's got tremendous potential. It just depends on how well they can pull it off.
Yes.
Because that is a long stretch of TV to pull out with no major goal in mind.
This is true, but at least with their television, they have different, you know, things on their television. They do open fight night, you know, the championship Thursday, et cetera, et cetera. So they have
weddings.
Weddings is Thursday night. Yeah, they have different things. It actually helps the product. So there are some incentives to watch, you know, each individual Impact. Come on, Tim. Jesus Christ, Tim, you're the host
Hogan,
of this.
Hogan is shitting bricks right now. I'm going to be related to a Dudley. My daughter's moving to Dudleyville.
All right, so since Tim doesn't want to carry his own goddamn show, TNA Extravaganza is one they tape, which will be airing in April, which is featuring all the X Division stars. The other one they taped is the Joker's Wild Tag Team Special, which is weird, odd tag teams forming together, which, spoiler alert,
Lethal
there's a...
Lethal Lottery,
yes. Spoiler alert, there's a tag team pairing of Joseph Park and Bobby Roode, and Joseph Park wants to be called Law and Order.
Oh, I cannot wait for that.
Other TNA pay-per-views include TNA Hardcore Justice 2, which is an ECW reunion-style show, which will be bringing ECW talent in. TNA 10, which will be basically, you know, a reunion of old TNA stars battling inside a six-sided ring.
They're bringing back the six-sided ring.
Yes, everyone will be excited. The six-sided ring comes back for one night only.
Ooh.
TNA Knockouts Knockdown, which is a, you know, an entire night dedicated to the Knockouts. International Incident, which will feature talent from the U.S., India, Mexico, Ireland, Canada, Germany, Japan, and the U.K. You have the TNA X Division World Cup Tournament, the TNA World Cup of Wrestling, which features four teams, each captained by a TNA wrestler, featuring a heavyweight wrestler, a tag team, and an X Division wrestler, battling in single, tag, and stipulation bouts. The finale will be a two-ring triple chance battle royal. Yes, two-ring triple chance battle royal.
Almost like War Games.
Almost like War Games. No, what was the WCW pay-per-view? World War III?
Yeah, World War III featuring War Games.
So yeah, those are the pay-per-views that are coming up.
So it's basically, what TNA's basically done is adopt WWF's 90s pay-per-view schedule.
Pretty much.
Essentially TNA in your house.
Pretty much, but no storyline attachment.
Yeah, and all pre-recorded and shit like that. And available all month long.
It will be interesting to see if it works.
Well, I'd like to revisit this 6 months from now, just to see what everybody's opinion of it.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to talk about it for 6 months.
The format.
Oh.
Look at the bright side, Omega. You don't have to worry about a pay-per-view until March from TNA.
Okay, yeah. But this is true.
Yeah, so we'll have to find something else to fill up a Sunday night with. Ideas are brewing. Anyway, yeah, that being said, you know, what I was actually talking about. 6 months from now, I'd like to find out what everybody's thoughts and opinions are with the pre-recorded on-demand pay-per-views interspersed with, let's see, you got four and then 6 months. That we should have two full live Sunday night pay-per-views done and put to bed by then.
Yes.
And that should give us a little bit of a read on how this is working for them. Because when you're paying $14.95, it's a little bit cheaper than what are they charging right now for a pay-per-view in the United States for TNA?
I will tell you, give me 1 second, I'll tell you the exact cost. I believe it's...
Like $34.95?
I believe it's $34.95 currently. I have the price schedule right here. TNA Genesis and TNA Lockdown will still be priced at $34.95. TNA Slammiversary and all live pay-per-views that follow will be now priced at $39.95. Bound for Glory will be $44.95.
Okay. Bound for Glory is still your priciest pay-per-view because that is, after all, their WrestleMania.
Yes.
Essentially.
Yes.
But $14.95 for the in-demand, or on-demand, rather. I just get the feeling that this is going to be slow to be picked up, really.
It's worth it. They can't lose money on these pay-per-views, if you think about it. Anything they do, any sales they make on these pay-per-views, it has to be a profit.
You would think so.
Because you don't have to buy satellite time, all the stuff that goes along with streaming a pay-per-view. So you're cutting down a lot on the production costs.
Yeah, production costs are a lot lower. It's not like they're making money with one sale or two sales or five sales. They still need a good, healthy number of people to buy these things.
Right, but if the same 5,000 people who are buying the monthly pay-per-views buy these, you're making some money because they're not making money off of the monthly pay-per-views right now. So it's a good idea.
No. There's a chance for them to actually sell more of these on-demand pay-per-views if it catches on as well.
Yes.
Because they're a lot cheaper. And there are a lot of people that will spend $25, but they won't spend $35.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the other issue with them, though. Here you have pay-per-views done in advance.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that TNA seems to suffer whenever their TV shows are taped.
Yeah.
Not as many people watch. Are you willing to drop down $15 for something that was pre-taped months in advance that you already know what happens?
That's the thing about it. There's no storyline connection, so what you're doing is you're paying money for pure wrestling, not storyline. That's a little bit different at the same time.
I mean, the way I see it is it's a good thing and it's a bad thing because, yes, it is pre-taped and, yes, you can get the results, but it's a good thing in the sense it's being offered all month long, and it's $15. So, say you're bored. I work nights, so say you're up. I'm up one night and I need something to watch, and there's nothing on. And oh, hey, look, there's a TNA on demand pay per view. I can buy it and I can sit here and watch it. And it's 3 hours of TV. And once you buy it, you have a couple days worth. At least if you buy it on Comcast, you have, I think, like 2 days or so to watch it.
Well, with most providers, you'll have a couple of days.
Yeah. Yeah, but just as example, my provider is Comcast, so I get usually about 2 or 3 days with it. So I can watch it as many times as I want in those 3 days. So
Comcast is the Sony Ericsson of service providers, by the way.
No, it's not. No. Sony Ericsson just sucks, Tim.
Yeah, Sony Ericsson sucks. Well, this phone sucks.
Well, you know what? Comcast is all I have because they won't let me mount a dish to the roof of my apartment building. So
she tried. Yeah. She tried really hard, but it didn't work.
Yeah, didn't work. So I have to go with Comcast. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting concept. And like Rock said, if you can get 5,000 people to buy it, then, or at least the numbers that are buying the pay-per-views, it's good. I think more people will be inclined to buy it just because like we said, it has nothing to do with their storyline. So you can literally buy the pay-per-view and know what's going on because it has nothing to do with with the actual storylines.
No. You see, now, with this on-demand, you already know what's going to happen, stuff like that. All of these cable or satellite providers have video on-demand. People will rent movies that they have seen previously. How is that really any different in the grand scheme of things? When you stop to think about it, really, it's not really all that different, is it?
No, it's not.
And the nice thing about this is if it starts to work out, I know all the providers do features or focuses for specific products, so you could have Comcast and Dish and Direct and I believe Time Warner and whomever else your cable provider is, they do a feature on TNA where they advertise for them on through the cable box on all networks where it's, oh, hey, this month we're featuring TNA one-shot pay-per-views or whatever you're going to call them. And they get their own little section in the on-demand where it's TNA. And you can go in there and they've got all the listings and you can watch it. Mm-hmm. And they maybe do like a free first 5 minutes or something like that.
Yeah. That would potentially entice people. You see 5 minutes, oh, okay, well, you know, from what I read, it didn't sound like it was such a bad thing, so let's, like, check it out.
For $14.95, you can get a sample of their product, and after you actually enjoy the product, you may be willing to buy the actual live pay-per-views.
So there you go.
All right, this is a chance for them to showcase their wrestling,
mm-hmm.
which is yep. always been TNA's strong suit, is their wrestling. So they get a chance to introduce a whole new market, potentially, to their product and bring them in for the pay-per-views.
Now, the one thing that they're going to have to learn how to do, and I think they got to bring in outside help for this, they have to learn how to market their product properly.
Yeah, but we've been saying that for years.
I know. And, you know, it's never too late to start.
This is very true.
Yeah, and so marketing properly would not suck or be a bad thing at all.
Correct.
So, yeah. All I can say is keep an open mind with this idea and concept. And like I said, yeah, it's going to take 6 months before you get any kind of reliable feedback on it. So, let's give them the 6 months before we talk to Alan Wojcik and see what he thinks about it.
So anyway, TNA Pick'em, Tim.
TNA Pick'em time. Mm. Yeah, well, believe it or not, somebody that we practically never talked to except for Saturday nights actually went 8-0.
Who doesn't watch?
Wow.
Who doesn't even watch the product?
And he doesn't even watch the damn. He doesn't even watch the product, man.
Tell him, Tim.
Rob.
Yeah, Rob Parks went 8-0 on his pickups.
Rob Parks, 8-0 on his... Don't let anybody ever tell you that smoking a blunt once in a while hurts your brain.
Clearly it doesn't.
It just makes you, you know, a wrestling booker.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Jed, with just another goddamn wrestling show, went 7-1.
Mm-hmm.
Mace, you went 6-2.
Yeah, I figured as much.
Yeah. Rock, you got 5-3.
Woohoo!
Yeah, Spud was at 3-5. Lindsay, Omega, and yours truly were tied at 500, 4-4.
Hooray, mediocrity!
There you go. Now, the Genesis Pick'em results that listeners submitted. Breakdown such as this. Brent went 4-4. As well, so did Tommy, Starscream Josh as well. Now here's the thing. Both Tommy and Josh got the tiebreaker wrong.
Thus there was a reason for a tiebreaker.
Oh jeez. Yeah.
No,
so they both got the tiebreaker wrong. So that like technically puts Brent ahead of the two of them.
It does.
Yeah.
So, he is our winner for the week.
Brent is our winner.
Congratulations, yay.
Brent wins something from Memorabilia Lane, who is a proud sponsor of WTR Pick'em Challenge.
He will win, and I believe, an 8x10 autograph from Mr. Anderson.
Anderson.
From the
I thought he won a prize. that sounds like a punishment.
Are you still anti-Anderson, Mace?
Considering the guy's done it sweet fuck and all? Yeah.
So yes,
Mace is anti-asshole.
Yes. So courtesy of Memorabilia Lane and Promotions, go to memlanepromo.com. Look at all their awesome stuff that they have from sports, celebrities, and pro wrestling.
So there we go. Congratulations, Brent. Good job, everybody else. Don't forget, Royal Rumble is January 26th, and we're going to be reviewing it right here on Law Talk Radio Network, Wrestle Talk Radio. And we are going to focus on that next for the next WTR Pick'em. And that means we've got, what, a week before we start that up?
Yeah, we're doing it next week, I think, right?
We could do that next week, absolutely. That's when it starts next Sunday night for the next WTR Pick'em Challenge. Everybody, listen to WTR Sunday Night Wrist Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with Roundtable and other stuff on the other side of this break.
Yeah, he taught me how to hold my tongue and wait to strike till their backs were turned. And you slither away like a snake that you are. Yeah, you slither away like a snake.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Spud. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Whoa, ho, ho, everybody. Johnny Cashmere back here on WildTalkRadio.com reminding you that every Friday night we get deep. That's right. Have your depth checked for free on WildTalkRadio.com. Friday nights, 9 p.m. with my wake-up call. We talk to guests from the world of paranormal, the world of fringe, guests like author Michael Cremo, guests like Ancient Aliens' own Philip Coppins, guests like Sci-Fi Channel's Ben Hansen, and many, many more scheduled throughout the year. Check us out Friday nights right here for your wake-up call. This is Johnny Cashmere.
Every Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network gets a little bit more impactful with The Rack, bringing you the most in-depth coverage of TNA's Impact Wrestling, which includes all of our favorite stars, such as Chavo Guerrero, Zema Ion, Tess Locker, Robbie E.
Wait, who wrote this? No, I'm changing this.
We'll talk all about my favorite stars of Impact Wrestling, including Christopher Daniels, James Storm, Samoa Joe, Joseph Parks, Austin Aries, and more. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, live 11 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The Rack, named after some brush. That's awesome.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels, letting you know that you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As I work at taking off my coat here, it's cold outside.
Really? Cold? Yeah. Really? Cold? Really? Really?
It's cold. It's cold. This is Canada. I'm like an hour away from the Rocky Mountains. It's cold. It's January. What did you expect?
Yeah. I bet it's not as cold there as it is here.
Yeah? How cold is it there in Utah?
It is at present -1 Fahrenheit.
-1 Fahrenheit? You're right. It's cold there.
I was sweating today.
Count on Omega.
I would say suck my dick if I had one, but yeah.
You know what? I saw that. I watched The Hangover the other night. Go ahead. Say it, Lindsay.
I don't have one, so he can't suck it. So what do I say? Well, lick my clit? That's just an invitation for him.
Yeah, for him. For most men, that would be. But
No. We call that Saturday night.
Yeah, it didn't stop the bitch in The Hangover from saying it. I'm just saying. So this past week marked the first week on WWE programming where The Rock and CM Punk actually faced off against each other. And on Monday night, CM Punk said a bunch of stuff that really pissed off a certain WWE Hall of Famer. Did you guys read about this?
Enlighten Hall of Famer us. Becomes a mark. News at 11.
Yeah. There you go. Superstar Billy Graham pissed off with Punk showing his disrespect with a promo, a wrestling promo in the ring.
How dare he?
Yeah. Chris Jericho responded, "Dear Billy Graham, would you please shut the hell up? Thank you."
I like him.
I do too.
So, yeah.
I didn't actually read what the criticisms were.
Tim, do you have that in front of you?
I don't have it right directly in front of me, and with the speed of my computer, it takes me about 10 minutes to call it up. But you just talking about Punk was being disrespectful to all of the generations before him, to paraphrase.
And basically, superstar Billy Graham wants out of the Hall of Fame. Shock! Yeah. He's been saying that for years. Nothing new coming from Billy Graham.
So, yeah, I think it's just Billy Graham making sure that people haven't forgotten that he's not dead yet.
Pretty much. He was just looking for attention, and he got it. So, there you go.
Yeah, and I don't know if I need to apologize for such a callous statement or not, but I'm not going to. But back to this.
The views expressed by Tim Stein do not reflect those of the Wild Talk Radio Network or any other hosts on this show.
Is it me, Lindsay, that all the Aussies on the network do that plug?
I swear they're all worried about something, but I'm not entirely sure what.
Hey. Remember who had to have that one on F1 in their brain? Every single time I did OTL.
OT what?
Yeah, what's an OTL?
That was for Spug, though.
Yes, and anytime you're around him, you need to have that statement prepared.
Very
on
true.
The air or not.
Very true. Anyway.
Go on, Tim.
So, yeah.
Yeah, come on, Tim, lead your show. Fuck's sake.
I am working on it. You guys are walking all over me. Shut up and I'll talk.
No.
Kind of makes it hard, then.
We are shutting up and you're not talking, so lead the goddamn show.
Well, no, not shutting up. You're still talking. I'm about to say
we're
shit.
We're only
talking
because you don't fucking
you
say
go.
Anything.
You're talking. You're talking.
Random noise.
Oh, my God. You know, I'm going to start sending text messages to myself just to make noise.
Fine, you go and sound like a supermarket.
So you're Michael Cole now?
Yeah, there. If I can have your attention, please. So, you know, The Rock is cutting his standard stock stuff. I'm sorry, but this is what I got from it. CM Punk just came across as more real to me, and Rock just came across as the, you know, the cartoon parody version of himself from, like, 2001.
And this is news to you, why?
I'm not saying it's news. I'm just saying.
I want to know why all of The Rock's insults have devolved into childish confectionaries. Because it's either Fruity Pebbles or Cookie Puss.
Because they have to go and try and get merchandise rights, even if it takes a year for them to appear.
Well, then why don't
they... Cone Bell ice cream is a little bit out there as far as trying to get in product placement.
He was trying. Why? To, he was trying to, you know, come up with a candy ass for CM Punk.
Why don't they like mark? Why doesn't he just come out and call him a Hostess Twinkie? Maybe he'll save the company, and Mace can rejoice and actually have reason to like The Rock. Ooh.
No, even that wouldn't do it.
Yeah, big stretch.
Plus, I have secured somebody who can go and get, like, whatever they can find and send it to me.
There you go. I see boxes of Hostess Twinkies every day. I go to work at the supermarket, so.
Well, fucking send them to me then.
Well, I don't know if I want to spend...
Mace.
Yeah, I forgot it's Tim. He doesn't like spending money because he's a Jew bastard. It's all good.
And I'm not Jewish. I'm cheaper than Jews.
And he's, you know, when Tim is supposed to send something...
Shut up!
Rock, they're Twinkies. He could send them a decade from now and they'd still be fresh.
This is true.
Thank you, Omega. The same thing I was going for, man.
True.
You just wait. When the bombs fall, it's nothing but cockroaches and Twinkies.
Thank you, Family Guy. What, nobody remembers that episode?
No, I stole it off Scott McNeil.
Okay. Well, he stole it off Family Guy. Or Family Guy stole it off him, one or the other. What did he say?
I don't date this shit.
If you want to see more of Omega stalking Scott McNeil, go to TJ Omega on YouTube.
You stalk Scott McNeil?
He's a cool guy.
That's not a no.
He's just trying to learn his habits. So when, you know, Omega's ready to strike and seize him and lock him in the hole in the middle of his room, he's good to go.
I see.
No, I don't even think it's that anymore. I think that they actually have some sort of friendship.
Thank you, Mace.
Or at least at this point, I think Scott just wants to steal the camera.
Sure, yeah. And I'm friends with Kane. Yeah.
No, that's exactly what he did. I've got a video up right now where he abducts my camera.
He abducted your camera?
Yeah.
Obviously, you got it back. Eventually.
Eventually.
So, yeah, go to YouTube.com and search out TJ Omega.
There you go.
And
yeah.
If you don't know who Scott McNeil is, it doesn't matter. He's still funny.
So, anybody have any thoughts or opinions about round one on this Rock Punk showdown?
The Rock absolutely no-sold Punk and showed exactly how scripted he really is.
I don't like that argument, but leave it.
When everyone said everyone will be talking about this by 11:30, I think the discussion wasn't supposed to be, is that it?
So you were expecting more.
Standard CM Punk, which is awesome, truthful, and very impactful, very pinpoint accurate. And then typical Rock, which is scripted straight out of the 90s, except now completely inoffensive for PG television. And pretty much the same old shit he always spews.
Yeah. So you're not looking forward to the Rock concert tomorrow on Raw then, I take it.
The Rock concert's probably one of my favorite things from the Cena feud, except when Cena and Rock did it, there's an actual professional animosity between them. Like, Cena had a legitimate beef with him. Rock took genuine offense to it. They had something to play off of. This is just scripted crap.
So there's no real heat between them, so this just doesn't feel like any kind of real worthy matchup.
It doesn't have the personal feel that Cena Rock had. You can only go off the strength of Punk's promos for so long. Fact is, they're going to push The Rock's more.
Uh-huh. Well, of course, because he's The Rock, naturally, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Mind yeah. you, extra points go to Punk for his final diatribe, because that was fucking awesome. Where he's talking about Rock being at the kiddie table and all these little childish insults, and he just doesn't have the reach to box with God. That's goosebumps shit right there.
It's like his arms aren't long enough. Yeah, I'll admit, what he said was quite entertaining. Punk said.
Punk was on fire through the entire friggin' thing. But, you know, The Rock being The Rock as per fucking usual. No sales, so, stick to the script that's written on my forearm.
So are you expecting anything like that to wind up happening in the middle of a Rock concert tomorrow?
I'm expecting it to not even go off. I say Punk stops it before it starts.
Really?
I mean, I know a lot of people hated it, but Rock and I had a talk
oh,
about
God.
This after the show. And it's what I think a lot of people don't understand about this segment, or a lot of people aren't seeing, is that they did the Rock shtick for the live crowd. They didn't do it for the home audience. Because if you notice when he goes to Miami, if you watch SmackDown this week, he goes to Miami and he does the same shtick. And they're doing it because people are paying to see The Rock do that. That's what they're expecting him to do. And it may be that they go more serious with The Rock, especially if this is going to have legs, and it may go to Mania. It may not. I'd like to see it go to Mania, is because I think it does have legs, especially if they build it as a real grudge match.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it, yes, did it expose The Rock as scripted? Did it make him look like a fool? Absolutely, but I think that was kind of the point. Is you have Punk go out there and you have Punk be Punk and you have him deliver that promo and The Rock's doing his same old thing. And it exposes The Rock's weakness, where he's kind of sort of resting on the shtick. He's resting on the insults and the childish name calling and that kind of thing, where he's resting on who he was. And he's not evolving into a new version of himself. And maybe we'll get that. Maybe we'll see where The Rock evolves beyond what he was into something new. And this is just the first step.
Yeah, it is possible, but I personally feel that they're just going to stick with the same old, you know, throw a bunch of kiddie insults, you know, the same thing they did with Cena and expect it to get over again. Because the main thing here is, even after all the talk that happens, The Rock still ends up rock-bottoming Punk. He still
right.
physically gets over Punk.
Right, but you did what you needed to do Monday, which was you have Punk no sell The Rock. They did it to each other. You have Punk being completely serious. He's in a very calm, deliberate tone. He's not getting angry. He's not really getting emotional. And then you have The Rock come out, and he's doing his thing, and Punk completely no-sells it and tells him to F off, and then he does that last little part where it's basically he looks at The Rock and he says, "You're not good enough for me, and you never will be." And he further emphasizes point Thursday.
You mean Friday?
Friday, yes, I'm sorry, Friday. I'm still used to SmackDown being on Thursdays, I don't know why.
Yeah, there you go. Of course,
probably
with
his... Probably because The Rock was on SmackDown. And the last time The Rock was on SmackDown was when it was on Thursdays.
10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. Entertaining and engaging, at least from Punk's end of things. And we get round two starting tomorrow night. And, you know, the big question, I guess, that was raised here tonight was, will Rock actually get a chance to even start the Rock concert?
You know what? I had a horrible thought.
Uh-oh. Your horrible thoughts scare me, Omega.
CM Punk isn't going to interrupt the Rock concert.
Okay.
3MB is.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Make it happen.
You know what? Yeah.
Make it happen.
Send out the jobbers.
Book it. Scary thought. And that now, being said, why don't we just head into the round table?
Hold on, no. Here's a conspiracy.
What?
3MB is now working with CM Punk. We need an investigation. Just like the Shield. You know, we need an investigation. 3MB is working for CM Punk.
You and your damn conspiracy. Go talk to Jesse Ventura, for Christ's sake.
Now we can go to a round table.
No, talk to Cashmere.
Friday's 9 p.m. Eastern sometimes.
9:30 Eastern.
Okay.
Coming up.
Now, yeah, sometimes.
Moving on. Sometimes.
Am I wrong?
Hell no.
This would be the roundtable. Anthony Dancy roundtable with no intro. With no intro.
Omega dies a little every Sunday night. I know he does. Don't you, Omega?
I think most of the soul's already gone.
Well, tonight's roundtable involves another list, and it doesn't matter how many times we tell Rock, no more fucking lists here. Let's find another one.
Hold on. You said from WWE.com.
I said no more lists, period.
This one's not from WWE.com.
Yeah, I said no more lists, period. I don't give a fuck where they're from.
You can only give Rock one stipulation, and the rest just kind of get blurred out.
It just like goes in one ear and out the other, is what you're saying, Omega.
Doesn't even go into the ear, just kind of right. The one stipulation just sticks there, and it's just like walls all the others off from going in.
There you go. All right. Anyway, here it is, derived from the list, guys. Who is the top performer in Raw history? Omega, start with you.
The list has it as Stone Cold Steve Austin, and quite frankly, I find it hard to argue against that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a fanboy in me that wants to make it Shawn Michaels, but considering how long he was out and how long the show went without him, and the fact that it was him leaving that let... in a way, kind of helps Steve Austin take that top spot that got them back into the ratings war, led them to the success of the Attitude Era. He was contemporary. He was the exact character they needed at the time. He was great in the ring, great on the mic. He was everything that the WWE could hope for at exactly the right time. So there's not really anyone else I could think of that hit it that spot on.
Okay. Lindsay?
I'd agree with it. I mean, I've only been watching Raw for half of the time that it's been on, so I'll agree with the majority of it. My only issue is with Sunny. And the description of it, that basically it's like she set the tone for the sexuality and confidence exuded by today's WWE divas, a.k.a. she ruined the division.
Yeah, there you go. We'll talk about the rest of the list after this, but are you agreeing Stone Cold Steve Austin is the top performer in Raw history?
I guess. There are so many that probably deserve number one. I'm not quite sure. I mean, Austin defined the Attitude Era, but I'm not sure if he gets, like, the number one for Raw. I would almost put Vince as the number one.
Okay. What about you, Rock? You might as well chime in on this.
I was thinking Vince, as great as Austin was, and he's great, there was the counter, and it was Vince McMahon, and it's continued throughout. How many times, you know, he's been the center focus because it's his show. For years and years, Austin had a 4-year run as the top dog. Vince McMahon pretty much has been there throughout, whether it was only, you know, being an announcer or you know, being the evil chairman. He's the, mm-hmm. you know, the top performer in Raw history.
Oh, okay. Mace.
I'd say tie it between Austin and McMahon. You can't exactly have one without the other. You know, without Austin, McMahon probably wouldn't have gotten over as much as he did in the Attitude Era. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, without Vince, there was nothing really for Austin to rebel against. So you can't really have one without the other, so I'd probably tie them both up for top spot.
That's cheating.
Yep. It's logical, Rock.
I agree with Mason. I back up what he says. You couldn't really have one be who he was without the other being who he was.
I wasn't disagreeing. I'm just saying he's cheating by you picking them both.
Yeah, no, you're just being a dick is what you're doing.
Someone has to be.
But there was no rule stipulating I had to pick one or the other.
He's right, and I agree with him. Now, looking at the rest of the list, this is where we decide to agree or disagree, I guess. Any of those...
What is Sable doing on there at all?
Because she was in Playboy. Twice.
Well, for her time, she deserves to be on the list. Not that high. I would put her in the team somewhere. But, you know, she deserves to be on the list.
Maybe actually put her at number 20.
I would say 15.
Okay. So,
also find the woman's role in Sports Entertainment Feuds with Jacqueline Nahar.
Let's face it, there's only one moment in her career they're remembering.
Yeah.
And painted on hand.
It had absolutely nothing to do with her wrestling ability.
There you go. So, should China not be ahead of Sable? China's sitting at number 11.
China, I would say, would be higher rated than Sable. Because at least she tried to break the conventional role of mm-hmm. women in wrestling, which was to wrestle other women. She actually was probably the first woman who had a legitimate claim to take on men and win.
And be believable.
Exactly.
Watching China beat the shit out of Jeff Jarrett, I believe that.
Yeah.
I'm saying, yeah, I can see that actually happening. Undertaker, all the way down at number 18.
That's because he had the job to him so many times. That's professional jealousy.
Here you go.
Taker makes sense. Taker makes sense lower on the totem pole. I don't know. 18.
Because he's more of a SmackDown character.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's only in recent history, though.
But that's for 10 years. He was a SmackDown guy for about 10 years.
Yeah, but if you think about it, he's the last guy that was on the original Raw, say for Vince. I mean, that says something. I don't think he needs to be in the top 10, but he doesn't need to be at 18.
Oh, I agree. He should be higher up than 18, but he shouldn't be maybe 12.
I have a problem with number 20.
Okay.
Of course
you don't. Well, now, just never mind the Canadian connection, okay? Edge, it's Edge for Christ's sake. He belongs higher on the list.
I'd say no.
No.
I think,
again, if you're going to use the he's a SmackDown guy for Taker, you definitely have to use it for Edge.
Yeah, that was his show.
Well, I just think that Edge should be higher than 20. I'm not saying top 10 or top 15, but definitely higher than 20.
All right, so Edge is now number 19.
Chris Jericho at number 19. 19, 17, right around there.
Him, I'd go higher.
Of course you would.
I'd actually, to be honest, Jericho's good where he is. Again, it's the whole thing of he was predominantly a SmackDown guy. Besides his initial introduction and subsequent returns to the company, he's never really been a Raw guy until, like, really late in his career. Most of the time, he was a SmackDown guy.
Mm-hmm.
So putting him at that stage, I could leave him there quite comfortably.
Yeah, okay, so number 15 is Bret Hart. I wouldn't put Bret Hart at 15.
I wouldn't put Bret Hart in the top 20.
I would put Bret at 20.
He'd be 23 at most.
I put Bret at 20. I would say Bret's in the top 20. When did Raw debut? That was the fall of 1992, wasn't it?
Something along those lines, I think.
Yeah.
Right? No. If you do the, come on, do the math. It's been 20 years this week.
All right, so like winter of...
January of 2000. January. Of 1993. That's when Raw started.
Yeah, not 2003 Rock, like you were going to say.
I know.
Yeah.
I caught myself.
So, yeah. Well, I wasn't really thinking. When I was thinking about that, I wasn't really thinking about 20th anniversary coming up. But, anyway. So, the timeline is still right. Before Monday Night Raw, WWE would have programming on, at least in Canada, on Monday nights. It was always recorded naturally, but it was still must-see TV. The precursor to Raw, I don't know what they called it, but...
Primetime Wrestling.
Okay. But it was on Monday nights, and when I was back then, I was managing a 7-Eleven, and I would get off work at like 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock or whatever, get my clothes ready to go out, and I'd watch WWF on Monday nights while I was getting my stuff ready to go out before I would go out on Monday nights, because you hit the bars after work.
So to talk up your bar thing, we go now with Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross. They're ranked 10 and number 7. JR is number 7 and Lawler is number 10. Good spots?
Ross?
Yeah. Ross, you, definitely. Ross is fine where he is because he's been the voice of Raw. Pure and simple.
You wouldn't put him at number 5?
No. He's good around the 6, 7, 8 mark. He's good there. Lawler, on the other hand, 10, yeah, that's not bad because he's been, it's a 10-year thing. He's been there for a majority of the show's run.
He's been there since the beginning. He's been one of the voices of Raw. He, from doing things, you know, as the thing says, in the King, you know, Jerry Lawler's King's Court and et cetera, et cetera. He's been, you know, been a voice on the show since, I think, 94?
Yeah, but he's always been second banana.
True, but he's always been there.
And he was gone for how long after he quit when his girlfriend got fired?
8 months.
It was only 8 months? It wasn't a whole year?
It was only 8 months.
He quit in February and was back in November, so about 8 months.
Okay. So not really long enough to make any kind of a difference there.
No, he was just gone for the invasion.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he quit not because the cat got fired, but because he got a chance to read the storyline for the invasion angle and said, fuck this.
They didn't buy WCW at that point. Nice try, though, Tim. Nice try.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so there it is. I don't know. You guys want to talk any more about this list? I'm done.
Let's move on now.
Yeah, all right. So, up next is the Great Debate.
It's now time for this week's WTR Great Debate. Join the hosts as they debate the greatest WWE Hardcore Champion of all time.
Well, as you see, Spike Dudley staggering around, and then out of nowhere, look at this, Hurricane comes flying in. He really can't fly.
It wasn't a bird, it wasn't a plane.
It was Hurricane.
It was Hurricane.
And he's our new Hardcore Champion here in the WWF.
Right, to the Hurricane Cycle.
And how?
No! Oh, wait a minute.
What?
Oh, Mighty Molly. I don't believe it. Mighty Molly has just defeated...
She hit the Hurricane with a frying pan.
I thought she was a sidekick.
Look at, I'm a Hardcore Champion. I'm a winner, baby. Yeah. What's that? What are you...
Hey, wait a minute. There's Maven. Maven rolling on Christian. I think Maven's regained the Hardcore title. And now he's taking Christian's cap.
Now step into the ring with us for this week's Great Debate.
Up first, Perry Saturn takes on the Undertaker Miz.
I can't even really remember Perry Saturn's hardcore title run. He's not another Bubba, is he, where he defended mostly on house shows?
Let's take a look, shall we? Let's go to the reference guide. You know.
To the Wikipedias.
Wiki.
As we do our research live on the air.
I can remember Undertaker, all I can remember is Undertaker versus Jeff Hardy. And that's it. But Saturn, I don't even remember anything.
He won it during a hardcore battle royal. And he won it on SmackDown once too. And then lost it to Taz later on in the show.
Yeah, okay. Undertaker, because at least he held it for a while and wasn't just like caretaker champion.
Okay, so that's one for the Undertaker. Lindsay.
I'm gonna have to go with Taker.
Undertaker, move on.
Well, just like Mace, I don't even remember Perry Saturn's run.
Because it was a cup of coffee.
Yeah. I remember Moppy, but I don't remember Perry Saturn's run.
Okay. Omega.
I'm going to have to agree with the consensus on this one. I don't remember Perry Saturn's run.
Okay. So, Tim.
Well, I remember Perry Saturn's run, and I'll be the dissenting vote here, because, yeah, Undertaker held it longer and all this other fun stuff, but Undertaker was never really the hardcore wrestler genre mold type, really. But Saturn fit that better.
So
did you just say Taker wasn't a hardcore wrestler?
Not for, like, for this hardcore division, for the hardcore title and all this stuff like that. the type of wrestling that Undertaker is known for is a little bit of a different style than the hardcore. Traditional hardcore, everything including the kitchen sink.
Yeah, but
Undertaker doesn't need that as a gimmick to get over.
This was more along the lines of, I can't remember if it was before or after, but it was in that time when RVD was the hardcore champion, and he had a lot more credibility to the title.
And they feuded over the belt.
Mm-hmm. And to me, that didn't come across as like the spirit of hardcore. It came across as the spirit of, like, you know, the TV title. That was more of the flavor I got from that. It was more entertaining. It was more enjoyable. It was a whole better setup, but it just didn't fit the idea of the hardcore championship.
All right, so Tim picks Perry Saturn. Undertaker moves on. Up next, Pat Patterson takes on Gerald Briscoe.
Oh God,
Tim.
Well, it's a good thing that Dr. Maybrick's not on the show anymore, because he would probably talk about Pat Patterson just stretching Gerald Briscoe.
And only two people know who you're talking about, so continue.
Yeah, three people. Anyway, oh, Christ, I don't know. This is before pretty much everybody's time.
No, this was about 1999, 2000, somewhere.
Well, a couple years earlier than that.
No.
It was a King of, their big highlight was a King of the Ring match.
Which we riffed, by the way. You can find it on WTRiffs.
Neither one of them are going to get any further than the next matchup. Pat Patterson.
Why?
Just because he was always a meaner individual than Briscoe.
Did you pick Pat Patterson because he looks better in a dress than Gerald Briscoe?
No.
Okay, just making sure. Omega.
No. Dr. Maybrick would have picked Pat Patterson because he looked better in a dress.
Omega. Go ahead.
God.
Hey, you wanted this. Fun and exciting. Pat Patterson versus Gerald Briscoe discussion.
Yeah, that's exciting.
So relevant.
God. Jeez, why not Pat Patterson?
Why?
Exactly.
Lindsay.
I'll go with Briscoe because I like him better.
There you go. Nice.
I'm going with Briscoe because he scared me less.
Okay, chat room, it's up to
but
you.
But not by much.
Chat room, it's up to you. Who do you want, Patterson or Briscoe? Put in your votes. We have one for Patterson.
Yeah, people will also have this fresh in your mind thanks to Are You Serious?
Yeah, it was on Are You Serious.
It was on this week's Are You Serious.
Oh, God. how's that for fate?
I know, right? They're paying attention to us because we announced it last week. So, anyway.
We have one for Briscoe, one for Patterson.
and we had another one for Patterson. So it's 2-1. Patterson moves along. So there you go. Next week on The Great Debate, it will be Bob Holly against Bradshaw and Rhino against Kane.
Shit.
See, now we're getting into some, like, interesting shit.
Oh, we gotta get through, you know, all the other ones, and then we'll get there. We'll get there, don't worry. So, yeah, it's a great debate next week right here on Wrestle Talk Radio.
Yay! Now it's time for Quick Hits. Hey, let's do it. Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Since I really didn't have time to pick out questions for Mace, I'm going to do it off the top of my head. Mace, if you were a type of candy bar, what type of candy bar would you be and why?
What type of candy bar would I be?
Yes, because I didn't think of questions for you. So, yeah, that's your question.
I would be a picnic bar. Because I'm all types of nuts.
Okay.
I've never heard of a picnic bar.
Me neither.
It's an Australian candy
it's
bar.
It's Australian.
Only available in Australia.
Okay. That works. Lindsay. If you got the phone call that Omega was arrested, what is the first thing that goes through your mind that he actually got arrested for?
Oh, fuck.
Seriously, your first thought wouldn't be, where's Spug?
No, my first thought would be, and it would be, well, no, I can't say that on air, can I?
Yes, you can. Yes.
Well, we don't know until you say it.
No, because Omega will kill me.
Say it. Well, say it. I want to hear it. What could rile Omega up enough to cause you to worry about your life?
No, I'm not saying it. I would guess... Oh, God, he finally got Scott McNeil.
I don't stalk the man. He's my friend.
Actually, if I got a phone call from that Omega had gotten arrested, my first reaction would be, is there video of this, and is it on YouTube yet?
At youtube.com/TJOmega. Tim. Who was the one diva you never, ever want to see return?
One diva I never, ever want to see return? Mm-hmm. Now, could this include pre-diva divas?
Sure.
Mae Young.
Why?
Just like, stay in the home already. Enough's enough.
But she likes giving birth on live television.
Yeah, that's one reason. That's just one reason. Right there. One of a plethora of reasons you could name. Do you know what a plethora is?
Yes, a lot. Anyway.
No, actually, it's too many.
Is that thing left over after Mae Young gives birth?
Oh, God.
Omega.
What?
If you got
that was utterly disturbing. That's what.
Yes, that too. Well, Megan, if you got the phone call that Lindsay was arrested, what's the first thing that goes through your mind that she got arrested for?
He can't answer that because she would kill him.
Jeez.
No, it would be, oh God, she finally got taker.
Yeah, all that. God, no, something tells me my first thought was, I'm sorry I recorded that. Or I swear I didn't mean to post it.
That was just wrong.
Mace, if you were a type of amusement ride, what would you be and why?
Amusement.
All I could think of would be roller coaster.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. There's not really much in the way of amusement rides. If it was like an amusement game, I'd say whack-a-mole because I take a beating and keep coming back for more.
Okay, we'll go with that then.
Done. Move on.
There you go. It's easier said than done. Lindsay, what actress would you want to star in a movie about your life?
Natalie Portman.
Why?
Because I have a girl crush on her.
Good enough for me.
And you could say, hey, look, I got played by Luke Skywalker's mom.
Tim, who is the biggest asshole of all time in pro wrestling?
Oh, fuck. Yeah, we talking legit or are we talking kayfabe?
Kayfabe?
Shoot or work?
Kayfabe is Tuesdays. Whatever you want it to be.
Oh, smart ass, wise ass, jackass. Dustin Runnels ranks way the fuck up there.
Why?
For being a legitimate asshole.
Okay,
for screwing the promoter out of just about $1,800 for the Bad News Allen tribute show that he was supposed to attend, where he took the plane ticket and cashed it in for the money and no-showed.
I remember that story. Okay. So that's your choice, Dustin Runnels?
I suppose so.
Okay. Omega, you know all those fancy toys you own?
Yeah.
And all the ones you review on your shows?
Yeah.
Say they were all discontinued. You're no longer able to get them. So you'd be out of a job, basically. You were given the option of being the number one reviewer for Barbie dolls. Would you actually take up this offer?
No.
What if they offered you a boatload of money?
No.
Why wouldn't you review Barbie dolls?
I've never been concerned about the money when it comes to my videos. It's a nice perk, but I prefer just the medium of it. And I prefer talking about the things I like, as opposed to forcing myself to talk about the things I don't.
But if
which is why I don't watch TNA.
But what if they?
But you can talk all about plastic boobies.
And you could be the plastic booby addict.
I'll be a porn reviewer then.
So basically, you'd have more in common with Spud.
He's not a reviewer, he's a connoisseur.
He's a porn gourmand.
No, I know a name that Omega will get. Brad Jones. Alright, that's just between him and I. We understand each other.
So that's Quick Hits.
And that's another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. Next Sunday night, we return to our regular time. 10 o'clock Eastern, as a matter of fact. That's what that is. Yeah, tomorrow night, the Raw Post Show. No news. It is live. All it is talking about WWE Raw. Hey, 3 hours condensed into about 45 minutes for your catching up pleasure right here, hosted by Sirakanakin.
For your catching up pleasure.
Okay. For the pleasure of being able to catch up on Raw in case you missed it.
Okay.
There you go, yeah. Tuesday night, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. Hey, do you like the Florida indie scene? Alan Wojcik has a show for you.
you want me to go with that one without taking a real shot?
What's that?
Nothing. Just move on. He has Honky Tonk Man on this Tuesday. Check it out.
Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show with Scott Barry and there's some guy on there that I forget his name. And basically, they're all part of the Cheap Wood paneling.
Chad Schaefer, Brian Blondie, Scott Barry, the Cheap Wood paneling, just another goddamn wrestling show.
Yeah, and hey, guess what's back? Don't say hot.
OTL.
OTL, starring Omega. Yeah, no, after the just another goddamn wrestling show, another edition of the hockey show. That's right, the NHL has ended their lockout. The boys are back. The abbreviated season kicks off this coming Saturday night, January the 19th. We're going to be taking a look at what we can expect and see what we can do predictions-wise. Now, if you're a hockey fan and you want to do some predictions, try to predict where all the teams will finish. There are 30 of them. Only 16 make the playoffs. Email your predictions to admin@wildtalkradio.com, media@wildtalkradio.com. Post them to our Twitter or our Facebook group.
And send your predictions for all the awards they give out as well.
There you go. Yeah, and Thursday night, we've already talked about it, so why even bother mentioning it's The Rack with Lindsay Ward at 11 Eastern?
Because it's The Rack with Lindsay Ward at 11 p.m. Eastern every Thursday night, right, Lindsay?
Apparently she can't talk because she's not at home. She's actually at work, and that guy who insists on doing homework is at the computer.
No, I'm not at work. And what does it hurt to mention The Rack 11:30 or 11 p.m. Eastern right here on Wild Talk Radio on Thursdays hurt? By the way, go vote for us at WrestlingRadioAwards.com.
Yes, go vote for us there. Vote for our interview with Maxine. Vote for the WTR interview we did with Edge and, you know, People's Choice Show of the Year. We're nominated. On this week's show, we will have the creator, director, the man behind Terrified, Matt Goldberg, will be on the program to tell us all about the new documentary he's doing about current TNA Archives champion Terror, which you can hear the interview we just did with her in the archives at wildtalkradio.com.
Yeah, Friday night at 9 o'clock Eastern this week, it's Johnny Cashmere's Wake Up Call. Johnny will probably show up, and he'll probably do a show, and he'll probably have a guest. After that, he's moving to 9:30 Eastern. And so, yeah, there you go. Saturday night, as close to midnight as they can get, depending on who shows up when, it's another edition of CB Radio.
Exactly. Weird, wacky, unusual.
Yeah. And as mentioned at the very top, another edition of Rust Talk Radio next Sunday night. Regular time, kids. Regular time. Once again, thank you very much to a little place that they call Memorabilia Lane.
Memlanepromo.com. Go there, buy all their awesome stuff. You know, RVD, Mr. Anderson, or a Kurt Angle autograph 8x10 for only $8 using the promo code ROCKSOCK.
There you go. That's it, everybody. We're done. Get out of here.
My wife follows on Twitter, Facebook. Follow Lindsay on Twitter at LindsayWard, KathyRiley.net, at The Nice Thing, at TJ Omega. And go to CanadianAllPro.com.
CanadianAllPro.com!
Home of the Sushi Master.
Keishi Matsumaga? He speaks Japanese because he's Japanese.
And he's now the Sushi Master.
WildTalkRadio.com.